Well, Liz, you have been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, one of a list of diseases that are categorized as an autoimmune disease that happens to be inflammatory. So for you, what are some of the risks if you don't do anything to treat your RA?
So, I mean, one of the biggest risks is just, destruction of the joints themselves. And if you just allow this inflammation to just continue, it's eventually just going to basically eat away at those joints, and they're basically going to lose function. To the point where some people with RA, before we had kind of the modern treatments, would end up in a wheelchair or end up having to get their joints surgically fused because they just basically didn't work anymore. So it can get pretty serious pretty fast.
So rheumatoid arthritis, different than regular like osteoarthritis, which is, I think, what a lot of people, when they think of arthritis, like that's what pops into their brain. But rheumatoid arthritis is different. This is inflammatory. This can happen at much younger, and this is not a wear and tear type of arthritis. Can you explain a little bit more of what exactly rheumatoid arthritis is?
Like you said, rheumatoid arthritis is one of many so-called autoimmune conditions. And when you hear that word autoimmune, it just basically means that the immune system of my body kind of starts attacking my own tissues. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's the joints. It basically sees my joints as foreign objects, and therefore it tries to attack them like it would a virus or a bacteria or something that's actually dangerous. But in this case, it's my own joints, and that's not such a good thing.
So this is kind of, it kind of comes back to this like chronic inflammation too. Is that what's going on in the joint too? Is that you've got this constant inflammation happening in the joint? Is that what's going on?
Exactly. So rather than an osteoarthritis, like you said, you get the wear and tear. You tend to see that maybe in older people, kind of after a while, they've worn down their cartilage, you know, in their knees, or, you know, worn down the various joints. RA is typically diagnosed, like you said, in younger people between like 30 and 50 is pretty typical. And it's really characterized by this ongoing inflammation. It's just kind of all throughout the body. And specifically in that synovial fluid, which is just the joint fluid in between all the joints, the inflammation just kind of hangs out there. And if you don't do anything to stop it, can just cause a lot of pain and inflammation and just all kinds of not fun stuff.
For us women, as we age, we start to lose some estrogen. And estrogen is kind of a natural anti-inflammatory. So for women who have RA already, kind of inflamed joints already, and then enter perimenopause and menopause, does that really exacerbate the issue?
I could see how it would. Mine has actually been very well controlled right now. I'm now in my mid-40s. I was diagnosed at age 30. So I haven't seen that so far in myself, but I could see how that might happen.
Yeah, it seems to be like there's just this really close interplay between inflammation in the body, just throughout the body, and our hormones changing, altering. And then when you also have this autoimmune disease kind of playing with it too, it could be this big recipe for joint disaster. So for you, how does that feel when you were first diagnosed? How does that feel on a daily basis? Like, how does RA impact you?
Well, when I was first, you know, starting to notice what was happening, and I didn't know what it was, like I said, I was 30 years old. I was very healthy, working as a registered dietitian. I was actually training for a half marathon at the time. And one of the first things I noticed was one morning, it tends to be worse in the morning, I got up out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and it was like the balls of my feet were like on fire. I mean, I was literally walking around on my heels, trying not to touch the balls of my feet to the floor because they hurt so badly. And then a few weeks later, it started in my hands, and it got to the point where I could not even squeeze a tube of toothpaste. I was like laying the toothpaste down on the counter and like trying to mash it with my hand. And my husband is like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, I can't squeeze it. It hurts. And he's like, you need to go to the doctor. This is not normal.
I have spoken with a lot of women with rheumatoid arthritis, and it seems that like the hands and the wrists seem to be a pretty common area for that to settle into. Do you find that
too? Yes. Yep. Starts in the smaller joints. It tends to be equal on both sides. So it's not worse on the right or the left. It's kind of the same in the smaller joints. And then it tends to be worse in the morning. You're real stiff and painful in the morning, and it kind of gets better throughout the day.
That first moment when you first discovered it, when it was in your feet, for me, like the instant thing that would pop in my mind is like, oh, I have plantar fasciitis, because why on it? You know, I'm training for a half marathon.
Exactly. And that's what I thought.
Registered dietitian who's training for a half marathon. I live a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Yep.
And I suddenly have pain in my feet. So what was the clue that, I mean, was it the hands then?
Yes. So, I mean, it started in the feet and I was like, okay, maybe I need a new pair of running shoes, you know? So I went to the local running store and got fitted for, you know, the proper type of shoes. And then, you know, I got some orthotics to put inside the shoes and, you know, kind of went through all those things. And then when it started in the hands, I was like, okay, there might be a little bit more to this than just the running.
So how else does it affect you? Is it just joint pain, or does it impact your energy levels? Does it impact your metabolism? Like, what are the consequences of this chronic inflammation wreaking havoc through your joints and through your body? Specifically with rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. So the joint pain is definitely the first and the most noticeable sign. And besides just joint pain, they can actually be, they feel kind of almost warm. Mm. They can look even red sometimes. They almost feel like they're kind of like itchy or like burning inside the joint is the best way I can describe it. If I'm in a flare, if I'm in a state where my inflammation levels are really high, I can almost feel like I have like flu-like symptoms. I'm kind of feel like feverish, body aches and chills. And then fatigue is a huge issue for pretty much everybody I know that has any type of inflammatory condition. And this kind of goes beyond just kind of you're tired. You know, I didn't get a good night's sleep. I'm feeling a little bit tired. This is just kind of overwhelming. I can't, I have to lie down, you know, and I take a nap most afternoons just because I get to that point and I'm kind of like, okay, need a little break so I can make it through the evening with my kids.
So how frustrating was it? I mean, at that point in time when you were, I mean, obviously focusing on your nutrition, that's your career as a registered dietitian. Working on fitness too with the half marathon, did you kind of have to stop everything for a while? Like what happened? How frustrating was that in just your daily activities? What happened to your actual lifestyle when you discovered this?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I kept working and, you know, kept eating as healthy as I knew how to, at the time, although we've talked about, back then I definitely ate a lot more processed foods, than I do now. And I did stop running for a while. My doctor advised me to stop doing anything kind of high impact, at that point. So I started just doing more walking. I really wasn't doing much strength training at that point at all. And eventually I did go back. It was probably a year or two after I had gotten on medication and I was kind of stabilized. I just wanted to run one more half marathon just to kind of like prove that I could do it. I don't know. It was just something I had to do. And then I really haven't run too much since, other than, you know, kind of here and there, a local 5K or anything like that, but not as much of the long distance.
Did you ever like try to train for something and then feel like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm going to have to put a pause on this.
For sure. And I think it was around the same time that I was diagnosed that my husband and I started attending a local, very high intensity cross training, type gym. Mm-hmm. And I mean, everything they did was full out. There was no kind of easing into anything. It was just, you know, get in there and work as hard as you can. And I tried and I just could not, my body just said, no, this is not, this is too much. we're not ready for this.
So showing up to a gym like that, that is just like really intense and you feel that pressure, but then you feel like I can't do that. Like my body is not capable of doing this. How does that sit on you mentally? Like what are some of your emotions then when it comes to working out?
Well, as my coach, Megan, you know, working out has never been my favorite thing to begin with. So I think it kind of gave me a reason to just give up, to just say like, oh, this is too hard. Like, I don't think I can do this. I'm just gonna dip out, you know, instead of maybe finding something else that would be a more sustainable and joint friendly solution. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm just gonna sit on the sidelines for a little bit.
I can imagine that. I mean, that sounds just like the all or nothing mindset, right? Like,
exactly.
Either I do all of it exactly how everybody else around me seems to be able to do it, you know, without this autoimmune disease, without this chronic inflammation in my body, I'm just going to either try to go all in, or I guess I just can't do it at all.
Yep. Those are the only two options. Why
so
do we do that?
Obviously that wasn't your experience though. You did discover a second option, but did that come from the doctor? Like what advice was your doctor giving you at the time about exercising, about nutrition, about healthy lifestyle? How did your doctor guide you towards helping to manage your symptoms?
That is a wonderful question. You're about to get me on my soapbox a little bit.
Hey, just a minute. I wanted to tell you about something brand new that we've been working on for you. It is a program called Inflammation Reset. You're hearing from Liz today all about how her life has been impacted by an inflammatory disease. And as a registered dietitian, she knows what it takes to naturally reduce chronic inflammation in the body and dramatically improve your quality of life. So I've partnered up with Liz to bring you this course that teaches you how you can do this too. It comes with beautiful tutorials and interviews, information guides, meal plans, recipes, grocery lists, even a really fun grocery store tour. Just making the process of learning how to eat and live a more anti-inflammatory lifestyle really simple. We're still putting the finishing touches on this, but if you're interested, if you know you need this, you can join the waitlist right now by going to inflammationreset.com and you will be the first to know when it's ready for you to get started. I will say that this course will probably not be available for purchase all by itself unless you're on this waitlist. Right now, our plan is to bundle this with the Back and Hip Fix program. So if you'd like to just grab Inflammation Reset, this is the only way to do it. This is your only opportunity. Okay. So go to inflammationreset.com, put your name on the wait list, and in the next few weeks, you will have one of the best anti-inflammatory resources at your fingertips.
But I did. I asked all those questions, you know, back from the very beginning. What can I do with my nutrition? What can I do as far as exercise and lifestyle and all those things? And my doctor looked me square in the eyes and said, nothing. It does not matter what you eat, how you move, just take your medication, and that's the only thing that matters. And 14 years later, fast forward 14 years later to today, I have done so much research all on my own to learn there is so much we can do to reduce our inflammation and increase our energy levels and make our body stronger. But that was definitely not the message I got at the beginning, which is very frustrating.
I can imagine how frustrating that is. I mean, that just plays into that mentality of like, okay, I guess I'll just do nothing then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But let's fast forward. You've actually been able to come off of your medication, which I know anyone listening who has an autoimmune disease like yours, or even just chronic inflammation in their body in some form or another. Like there's probably this feeling of, I guess I'm just going to be taking this medication forever. There's so much out of my control. but you've actually been able to really reduce your medication and potentially come off of it, right?
Yes. And this is literally a work in progress as we speak. But as of today, I've been off, completely off my medication for about 8 weeks, 2 months or so.
Wow.
Prior to that, I weaned down for about 6 months. I was on a half dose of my medication. And it really started again. This was my doctor's idea. I have a different doctor then than I do now. But she saw, I think, some of my markers changing. She literally saw my inflammation levels dropping. She saw my energy levels going up. And it was her that suggested, you know, maybe we should try you off this medication. I'm not sure that you need it anymore, which I never even knew was a possibility. I just figured, like you said, this is something I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. But at least for right now, we'll see what the future holds. But for right now, I'm not taking any medication for my rheumatoid arthritis.
Wow. Okay. How? What have you done? Obviously, you didn't listen to your first doctor. And no. Obviously, you didn't give up and say, I guess there's nothing I can do for this. So what have you done to be able to reduce those inflammation markers in your body?
Well, obviously, you know, I found you about, I don't know, it's 5, maybe even 6 years ago now. It's been a while. And I loved your approach and you just helped me literally learn how to modify things for my body. I literally could not, at the beginning, you know, don't even think about push-ups or planks. I could not even do anything where I had to bend my wrist, you know, kind of to that 90-degree point. I couldn't do it. And so you said, okay, let's start, you know, just on your elbows. And, you know, then let's start by holding onto dumbbells and with your wrist straight. And, you know, then after a year or two, I could do planks and I could do full push-ups. And it was just this very slow, gradual progression that just got my body stronger over time. It wasn't like you just walk in there the first day and just boom, you know, start doing some push-ups. It was what I needed. It was the approach I needed to kind of gradually get back into that.
Now, what about nutrition too? Obviously, as a dietitian, you have a good understanding of good nutrition, but you alluded to earlier that you were not necessarily eating as healthy as you could have been back in the day. So what changes have you made to your nutrition that has impacted your inflammation levels as well?
Well, again, I love how simple you keep it. And I feel like your basic kind of nutrition thing, if anybody's heard you talk before, you talk about eating your pros and starting with protein and produce, I feel like is a great place for anybody to start. Especially with your protein, emphasizing things like fatty fish, salmon, tuna, all that kind of stuff. Those are great for inflammation levels. All kinds of fruits and vegetables. I mean, the more colors, the better. There are so many different polyphenols and cool, like kind of plant chemicals that literally reduce inflammation in our bodies. And eating more whole, unprocessed foods versus processed foods, especially when it comes to carbohydrates and sugars. I think a lot of us are eating too much, you know, refined breads and rice and pastas and things like that. We need to move more towards whole grains, things that grow from the ground, and healthier sources of fats, you know, less fried foods, less processed seed oils, and more just, again, things that grow from the ground, extra virgin olive oil and avocado oil and nuts and seeds. And that's really the majority of what I eat is just things that grow in nature.
So it sounds to me, obviously, that this just sounds like a really well-balanced whole food-based diet. And you have found that this has really, and even combining it with the fitness piece of just a gentle progressive approach, this has worked for you as someone with an inflammatory autoimmune disease. Would you say that this would work for anyone with any type of chronic inflammation? I've just recently read a stat that 50% of all deaths worldwide are attributed to chronic inflammatory diseases like cancer, cardiovascular diseases, dementia, stroke, diabetes. These are all kind of stemming they all have their roots in some form of chronic inflammation in the body. So what you're describing here, it's obviously worked for you with RA. Would this work for anyone with some form of inflammatory disease?
Absolutely. And even people without an inflammatory disease, or maybe that don't know they have it yet. I think, like you said, we're learning more and more about all these chronic diseases, and what they have in common is inflammation. So I think eating this way, you know, call it an anti-inflammatory diet, call it a Mediterranean diet, you know, anything, something along those lines, I really don't think you can go wrong. I think that would be helpful for just about anybody.
So Liz, I'm assuming you probably still have some flare-ups every so often. I know that that's just kind of the course of how sometimes these diseases go. This is just kind of how they work. So how often does it happen now? And in that moment, what do you find yourself doing when that happens to just kind of manage it, and even mentally just not be panicky? Like, oh no, everything I've been working on isn't working. So what happens when you have a flare up?
It's interesting because it goes along with our fitness journey, right? Like, it's not linear. Right. It doesn't just always go the way that you think it's going to go. My last flare was probably about a year and a half ago. So it
has been
for a while, which is great. I'm super thrilled about that. I mean, it can just hit you. Like I said, those flu-like symptoms, it just makes you like, I cannot get out of bed. You know, every joint hurts from kind of like the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And I've just over the years kind of developed a kind of a self-care routine. The first thing is probably just communicating with my husband and my children and to just say, you know what, mommy is having a really tough day and I just need to be able to rest a little bit more than I normally would. They are so kind and sweet about that. So that's the first thing. And it's really resting. I typically kind of go back and forth between heat and ice on the various joints. And then probably take some type of an anti-inflammatory. I have some prescriptions for my doctor that I can kind of take, like in case of emergency, warm baths, ice baths sometimes, you know, just kind of go back and forth.
Does it help to move? Like in those moments, is it better to just like rest, or does it actually help to do some gentle stretches or movement in that moment?
That's a great point. Yes. I don't feel up to doing a lot. But yeah, even like a little bit of stretching, maybe some gentle yoga, something like that, I feel like is always good.
That's kind of great to have an arsenal. It's a good reminder to have that arsenal of something that's like a gentle, flowy type of stretching routine in your back pocket when you need it.
And to not feel like that all or nothing. You know, like what if I had a strength workout planned and I wake up and I have a flare? Oh, I'm just going to go back to bed. You know, I'm just not going to do anything. Well, you know, like you ask us, what can I do? There's got to be something I can do today. Okay, let me just do a few gentle stretches or a 10-minute yoga or something to kind of move my joints and get that fluid going around. And
how does your body feel today? How are you feeling now? You've been on quite a journey, quite a roller coaster with finding out you had RA years ago, discovering, doing your own research, managing it. Where are you at now? You're older. You're 45.
I'm older. Yes. I will turn 45 this year. And so I feel great for the most part. I don't have joint pain. I still struggle a little bit with fatigue, but it's gotten better. And I think the biggest thing is I can just pretty much do whatever I need to do. I've got two kids. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And, you know, if they ask me to chase them around at the park or, you know, go on a hike or, you know, do anything, you know, that they want me to do, I can do that without, you know, having to worry about it and say, oh no, mommy's tired, I'm not strong enough. You know, I can do what needs to be done.
Can you imagine where you would be if you had given up all those years ago? If you had,
I don't want to.
If you had listened to the original doctor and said, "There's nothing you can do," can you imagine how you probably wouldn't be able to do all those things with your kids?
And that's the main reason that I wanted to do this podcast with you, because I know I'm not the only one that has gotten that message from their doctors. And again, I'm not going to, everybody needs to listen to their doctors and take their medication as prescribed. I'm not saying not to do that. But in addition to that, there are so many things you can do to eat healthier foods, move your body better, manage your stress, get quality sleep, you know, all of these things that kind of make up the anti-inflammatory lifestyle, you know, it's only going to help.
So, so good. Thank you so much for being with us today, Liz, and just sharing your story. We really, really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.